right before Mass, Ian asked a typically insightful question about this passage from Matthew, which is the absolute conclusion of the gospel. And he said, was this a tacked on? And it actually is coherent with the whole picture of Jesus that we get from the Gospel of Matthew. Jesus is the absolute summary, the epitome of what it is to be a Jew. Jesus' whole mission could be understood in terms of what it was to be a Jew, which is to be God's agent of salvation for the whole world. But of course, the Jews, just like we, have resisted that particular mission. But the risen Jesus is now in a position to say, okay, now what we Jews are supposed to do is supposed to happen. So you go and preach to everybody. Because if you remember in the beginning, in the earlier part of the gospel, Jesus saw his mission only to the Jews. I'm sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. So that's what's going on there. It is a summary of what the Jews are supposed to be doing, what we, second generation Jews, are supposed to be doing. And it sounds like, this is Trinity Sunday, it sounds like a clear statement of a belief that God is triune, but this would be a mistake, because the Jews were famous among all the religions of the ancient world as being monotheists. Huh? So how do you get from monotheism to a Trinitarian notion of God? Well, you don't do it very quickly or easily. It took 300 years. The Council of Nicaea, and then later the Council of Constantinople, where they finally, thinking about this stuff, thinking about the God that they knew, the Jesus, and the power of Jesus, the Spirit of God operating, is that God herself is triune, tripersonal. Okay. So much for that. Now, is there any kind of experiential rootage for this belief, this very hard, difficult to believe? Certainly hard for the early Jesus movement to figure out. It took them a long time, and I'm not so sure we have advanced much on their understanding. I'd like to suggest a little modest example from my neighborhood. I've lived in the present house for about 10 years. It's on a real crescent. It's a circle, so you can walk around it. Two entries off of Aldersbrook. And I walk my dogs every day past the same houses. For 10 years, I've been walking past certain houses in that neighborhood and talking to people. They're out gardening or mowing the lawn or doing something. To be assiduously ignored. It happened yesterday. This woman passed 3 feet from me with her dog. And I was out planting some stuff. Hello. Bonk. How does this get us to the Trinity? Well, it's not a direct and clear path, but I think there is something there that is suggested. I feel really offended when it happens. And it happens fairly often. If you go, on the other hand, to the Caribbean, you can walk down the street in any of the islands that I know and talk to anybody, and everybody will smile and greet you back. But not here. For whatever reason, we don't have to go into. What I want to get at is my response to that. There is a sense that my existence has been denied. That's one level. You're not real. But then I think there's much more to it. If you analyze this much more closely and intimately and deeply, there's much more going on. Namely, the sense that we really are, the final stage, I think, we really are deficient without each other. We really are unfinished without each other. And I think that's the deepest level of appropriating this, that most of it is just pique on my part and pettiness, you know. Well, same to you, you know. But if you look at it more profoundly, there really is a sense that something is metaphysically wrong with that kind of interchange. I am diminished. I am unfinished. I am not who I am without you. And that's a universal you. But it's not very simple. The more you think about this, the more complicated it gets. I keep thinking of the great Barbara Streisand and her two signal songs from Funny Girl. People who need people are the luckiest people in the world. But on the other hand, she will finish that same musical with, "Don't rain on my parade." The point being, our relationship with each other is truly ambiguous. This kind of wariness that we have, that seems endemic to the human condition, of each other. You stand before me as a potential threat, as not completing me, but as diminishing me. There's that. But there's also the sense, and this is a serious misreading from a Trinitarian point of view, of the people who need people. I need you to make me complete, you know, and then you can go do whatever you want. I'm finished. No! That's not what the Trinitarian view of things is. It is not a sense of the neediness for my own completion, my own independence, but rather we are called, in view of the doctrine of the Trinity, to understand at the deepest possible level that my life is not just a need for somebody else to supply what I don't have in order to finish me off, but rather essentially, I cannot become myself apart from being connected to you. I am, in other words, in absolute need for myself to be who I am, to be with you. That's a whole different thing than saying, well, you give me what I want and then we're finished. See, that, I think, gives us some kind of entree into the Trinity as mystery. How in blazes, given my normal consciousness of people being either a pain in the neck or filling out what I need, what I want, my agenda, to this deepest sense of myself as absolutely interconnected with everybody else. That essentially defines me. Not some model self that I finally can reach total independence, the can-do mentality, you know, for which we are so famous. So level after level after level after level after level, you can go through that stuff and talk about the tawdriness of some needs, the inauthenticity of kind of interdependence. Because God knows there's plenty of examples of sick interdependence. But to be able to distinguish that between that sick interdependence and the radical incompleteness that is who I am. What is the Trinity? The Trinity, we believe, is God absolutely tri-personal with nothing held back from each other. God is essentially communitarian, in other words. Essentially, nothing held back. Nothing held back. And that's what constitutes the three persons of God. The theologians, in typically academic obscurity, describe the persons of the Trinity as subsistent relations. And we, created in the image of God, if we believe that, that's precisely who we are too. So it's not that I need the other one to fill me out. I can then get on with it, my life, my radical independence. but rather this painful discovery, despite all the damage that people have done to me and I have done to them, that we really are meant for each other, to be with each other. That's a mystery. Look at the world and say, that's the way it's supposed to be. Doesn't look like that. Look at families. Doesn't work that way. Look at every kind of intimate relationship we have, which is always with a sense of weariness of the other, I think, from what my married friends tell me. Be able to peel away all those neurotic needs or those neurotic sense of independence. To see at bottom, I do stand absolutely interconnected with everybody else. I think that's one way of getting at the Trinity, to make sense of it.